The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Sky proclaiming peace on earth. The shepherds came to bow their knee, a humble offering. Wise men traveled from afar to find their newborn king.
Oh, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now all this was done, that it might be spoken, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and this Jesus shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High, and he shall be given the name that no other name has ever been given. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
The road ahead just seems to be unending, but I will trust his word through each long day. Though I cannot see his plan, I'm still depending on his promise to provide and make a way. Only God knows what he's creating in me. Only God don't understand, I still believe there's a plan that only God knows.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him.
This doesn't fit the plans I had for my life. I'm tempted just to hide or run away. But I will trust your word and take her as my wife. For you promised to provide and make a way. Only God knows what he's creating in me. Only God knows what my eyes cannot see. When I don't understand, I still believe there's a plan that only God knows. will provide.
With his promise we can face another day.
We can be sure
and stand secure.
For we know God will make a way. When I don't understand,
I still believe there's a plan
that only God knows.
That only God knows.
There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you.
Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria, oh Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, oh Gloria, in excelsis Deo.
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
What hope we hold this starlit night? A king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground.
What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground.
Emmanuel, praise his name.
to bleed. A crown of thorns would pierce his brow, and we beheld this offering. Exalted now, the King of Kings, praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, praise his name, Emmanuel.
A child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Go to sleep, my son, this manger for your bed. You have a long road before you, rest your little head. Can you feel the weight of your glory? Do you understand the price? Or does the Father guard your heart, for now so you can sleep tonight?
Go to sleep, my son.
go to sleep, my son, and baby, close your eyes. Soon enough, you'll
save the world, but for now, dear child of mine, oh my Jesus, sweet
was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
Jesus, the glory and song.
And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against.
It seems I've spent a lifetime waiting for this moment to arrive. There were times I've wondered if I was strong enough to survive. But now I've trusted you, you've never let me down. Your promise has come true, for the Savior I have found. My eyes have seen your salvation.
My eyes
I love the words to that song, "Mine eyes have seen my salvation." And whenever you truly understand the meaning of Christmas, then you understand the importance of salvation. And when we think of the Christmas story for just a few moments, I want you to think with me about the scripture when it says in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." No doubt, those in first century Palestine were looking for a Messiah, a Savior that would bring them political reform, someone that would free them from the Roman tyranny that they were experiencing. And much like we in this day, we look for change in leadership to bring hope or less taxes or somehow to bring some type of reprieve to our lives. But you see, God did not send the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, simply to provide a political form of reform. He sent Him to do what this verse says, to save His people from their sin. Now, one day, to be sure, the Lord will come and He will establish His kingdom, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. But I want you to think with me for just a moment about this verse, which simply says, "He shall save His people from their sins." It reminds us tonight of the fact that Jesus Christ is a merciful Savior, that He came to this world to provide salvation for all who would believe. In fact, the name Jesus means Jehovah is our Savior. And when we see that verse, John 3:16, and when we read it, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We're reminded that Jesus came to be a Savior. And I think back to those many Christmases when I was a little boy, and I remember so many of the different things that my parents gave me. And I was thinking this past week about that first truck that I got at age 3 or 4, and how I ran around the backyard and made tracks with it, and then some racing cars a few years later, and then those different things like a BB gun or a walkie-talkie and all those things that we'd break and dismantle as boys. But you know, the fact of the matter is that the greatest gift I've ever received in my life was when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I realized that I was a sinner, though I went to Sunday school, though my parents were Christians, still I was a sinner who needed a Savior. And the Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sin. And Jesus Christ was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, in order that when He died on the cross, the blood that He shed would not be the blood of just another man or just another prophet, as some say. But that blood came as the sacrifice from God for the sins of the entire world, for He shall save His people from their sin. He was a merciful Savior. We saw the baby wrapped just a moment ago in what the Bible describes as swaddling clothes. And this morning we learned that those clothes really were burial clothes, and that Joseph and Mary wrapped Jesus in the swaddling clothes. Perhaps they had nothing else in their travels to Bethlehem. But those were the very same linens that Jesus would be wrapped in at the time of His burial, reminding us symbolically of the fact that Jesus was born for the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. And He did die for our sin, and He was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But 3 days later, He arose from that tomb and left those linens there in the tomb. Jesus Christ did all of that as a merciful Savior to save us from our sin. But you know, the greatness of this story is not only that Jesus came as a merciful Savior, it is also that He came as a manifested deity. You know, if we don't really ponder who Jesus is, we're not going to understand the significance of His salvation. The Bible says in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." Would you say those three words with me? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And when we see the manger scene, and when we're reminded of where Jesus was born and how He came into this world, we're reminded of the fact that anyone can have access to God. Anyone. It doesn't take someone just of a royal background or a religious background, but anyone who will come and humble themselves can be saved. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Many today deny that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Many deny the truth that is presented in the Bible, which tells us in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ is manifested deity to this world, God in the flesh. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." He's a merciful Savior. He was deity manifested in this world. But then, as we saw the wise men a moment ago, we're also mindful of the fact that Jesus Christ is a majestic king. We're mindful of what the scriptures say there in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, because he is Emmanuel, God with us, he is worthy of our worship tonight. On one occasion, Thomas came to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. He said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus did not say, "Thomas, don't worship me." Jesus received that worship because Jesus is God, an equal person of the Trinity. And we should worship him tonight with all of our hearts in thanksgiving that he would come down in the way he did. Jesus was worshiped by the wise men. Someone said the words "wrapping paper" do not appear in the Bible, which means that the very first Christmas gifts were not wrapped. This is because the people giving those gifts had two very important characteristics. First of all, they were wise, and secondly, they were men. And a lot of times, as men, we struggle with the simple and, yes, the sentimental truth of this season, and sometimes we need to be coached along with this fact that in our stubborn pride, it's not always easy to admit that we're sinners. We always think we've got enough religion, we know about God, we went to catechism or Sunday school, but the fact is, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the Bible says the wages of our sin is death, separation from God for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, then, is what really God is offering to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save us from our sin. Tonight, I wonder, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure that your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? You see, without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus took the form of a man in order that he might become the sacrifice for our sin. And the great thing about the gift of salvation is you don't have to earn it. If you had to earn it, it would not be a gift. My wife Terry seated down here, and we were enjoying the wonderful music a moment ago, and I was just thinking, if I was to come to Terry and if I was to say to her, "Sweetheart, I want you to know that I went out and I went to the mall and I braved the crowds and I bought you this gift and I'm going to give it to you now and I want you to have it, but before I give it to you, I want you to know that I just would like you, if you wouldn't mind, to make my favorite dinner and scratch my back and just take care of a few items and kind of help me out." After I said that, if I was still awake from not being knocked out or have a frying pan over my head, she would probably lecture me and say, "If I have to do all that to get the gift, it's not a gift." You see, religion says, if you will do this and this and this and this, you might go to heaven. But Jesus says, "I already went to the cross and paid for your sin. All you have to do is believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Religion says, "Do this." Jesus says, "It's already done. And his work was finished on the cross." Remember what he said as he hung there? "It is," say it with me, "finished." It's finished. And tonight, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is a merciful Savior. He came down to us. He's a manifested deity. He is God in the flesh, and he is a majestic king. He's worthy of our worship. And I trust tonight that if you have never had a moment in your life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you would take that moment just now, realizing that we are sinners, realizing that he's the perfect Son of God who died for our sin, and receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's our prayer this Christmas that if you don't know you have eternal life, that you would find eternal life in Jesus Christ, not in a church, not in a religion, but in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right now, I'd like you to join me in a word of prayer, and we'd like to give you the opportunity to make that decision as well. Let's pray together. Father, just now, before we hear the final few songs from the choir tonight, we pause to thank you that you came into this world to save us, Lord, from our sins. We thank you that you have provided salvation as a free gift, not something to be earned, not something that we are ever good enough in our own merit to receive, but it's a free gift. And Lord, we thank you that you paid the price. And I pray right now that you would just speak to hearts in this room, and that if there's someone here tonight that has never received that gift, that they would realize perhaps for the first time, you don't go to church to get the gift. You don't do good works to receive the gift. You believe on the one who paid for it, and you receive him as your Savior. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is not sure that heaven is their home, and they're not sure that they've received this gift of salvation, I pray that they would even in this moment make that very, very important decision. Our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed, and in just a moment we'll have the last few songs given by the choir. But we like to pause at this Christmas season to give you an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. A lot of people have religion, they have some experience, but they're not sure that if they died, they would spend eternity in heaven. But the Bible says you can know that you have everlasting life. If you don't know that tonight, I want to encourage you by faith to simply at this moment believe, put your total faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can do that by just simply talking to the Lord from your heart in prayer, whether you're up in the balcony, whether you're here on the main floor or watching by live stream. If you want to know for sure that Christ is your Savior and that heaven is your home, then I would encourage you right now to just call out to the Lord like I did many years ago and say something like this to him. Dear Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I believe that you came down, you were born in Bethlehem, you lived a perfect life, then you died on the cross for my sin. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, forgive my sin, and be my Savior. I receive you now as my Savior and my Lord. Once again, if you've never made that decision and you want to receive the gift of eternal life, you want to receive the gift of a relationship with Christ, then call on the Lord and receive it tonight. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Let me encourage you once again, if you did not pray that earlier, just something like this before we close. Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and be my Savior. I'm trusting only in you. I'm trusting in your word. You said you would come to save your people from their sin, and I want you tonight, Lord, to be my Savior. I'm turning to you and you only, and trusting you today. Now, my friend, if you have just in your heart said that to the Lord, though it sounds simple, always remember a great price was paid, and that was the blood that Jesus shed. That's the reason he came down to this earth. That's why the song was sung, "Mine eyes have seen my salvation. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world." I wonder in this auditorium tonight if there were a few with heads bowed and eyes closed who would just say, Pastor Chapel, I heard the message in song. I heard the narrator giving the message. I heard you talking tonight about the importance of having Jesus as our personal Savior, a merciful Savior that died for my sin. And just a moment ago with you, I did pray in my heart, and I did ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior and take me to heaven, and I meant it. And I'm glad I said that prayer. And right now, if you did say that prayer a moment ago, I'd like to just be able to rejoice with you and pray for you. And I wonder if you'd just very quietly just slip your hand up and hold it up right there and say, Pastor Chapel, I prayed that prayer. I meant it, and I'm glad I did. God bless you. Who else tonight? I prayed the prayer. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? I'm glad I did. Who else tonight? Wonderful. Wonderful. How many of you would say, Pastor Chapel, I have prayed that prayer. I am saved and on my way to heaven. But God has really blessed my heart tonight. Pray with me that I'll live for Him in the new year. Would you lift your hand if you're already saved and yet God's speaking to your heart tonight about living for Him? That's wonderful too. That's awesome. Well, let's pray right now and then we'll continue. Father, I want to thank you for those in this room tonight who for the first time prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord, that by faith they have called out to you to forgive their sin and to give them a home in heaven. And we believe the promise of your word and that you will fulfill it. Now, Lord, tonight I pray for all of those who've already accepted you at an earlier time in their life, that this would be a time when their hearts are kindled and warmed and when their lives are completely sent in a direction that is pleasing to you as we approach the new year. Lord, have your way with us, and may we present our lives to you as a living sacrifice this Christmas season is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
choir once again and the orchestra for a wonderful presentation tonight. What a wonderful weekend. Last night on the boulevard, this morning, wonderful music, and once again tonight, thank you, choir, orchestra, drama team, under the direction of Brother John Guy. Let's thank John for a great job tonight as well.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.